Thank you. Dasya api The Lord has situated many forms, such as Rama, Lakshmana, Bharata, and Sushumna. And these forms may exist in any part of his creation. All these forms exist permanently, eternally, as individual personalities of Godhead. And they resemble many candles, all equally powerful. Lord Ramachandra, Lakshmana, Bharata, and Satrughna, who, being Vishnu Tattva, are all equally powerful, became the sons of Maharaj Dasarath in response to the prayers by the demigods. Om Agyati Medandasya Genajana Sarakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Yeha Tasmai Shri Guru Maha Shri Chaitanya Manovistam Sadhitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Karamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vrindavati Swami Iti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Devi Om Ravani Pacharini Nirvishishva Shri Yavadi Asyatya Devi Satarne Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasavi Gaudra Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Now the Bhagavatam, for at least this chapter and part of the next chapter, we hear about some of the qualities, activities, and victories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the form of Sri Ramachandra. Advaita Vachuti Anadi Ananta Rupa. As there are unlimited ways, we might say, even in the material sense, we can use an analogy that you stand by the shore of an ocean, and you sit there, you can sit there your whole life, and the waves never stop coming. So waves appear to be constantly coming, seem to be uncountable, never stopping. Of course, it'll stop at the end of the creation, but that's billions of years. So in the same way, the incarnations of the Lord are innumerable, like the waves of the ocean. In the Bhagavatam, in the 10th canto, it says like the snowflakes on everywhere in creation, the grains of sand on the beach. So God is an unlimited, but when you say unlimited, you don't really get a clear understanding of what that means. That means that something we can't understand. That's how much we can understand about what is unlimited, is that we can't understand it. Because everything within this material world and the way we have a way to calculate things is in beginning and end. We see things, we estimate and understand things during the beginning and end. But everything about the Supreme Personality of God is perfect and completely unlimited. The Lord appears, and we all know why. We hear it many times, yada yada yadharmasya glamir bhavati bharata. Abhuta Rama Dharma Syatadat Maham Sujami Hampur Nityanayam Sadhanam Panasanayam Sudhuskrita Dharma Samstapanamayam Sambhavami Yuge Yuge. It comes whenever religious principles go down and there is a rise of irreligion, but it also comes, and this is the main reason to give pleasure to his devotees and to inspire his devotees in the process of service to him. Lord Ramachandra is very much prominent within our society, within our culture, within our teachings, within our focus. And therefore we hear a lot about Lord Ramachandra. We celebrate his appearance day every year, usually in the month of April. And of course his victory over Ravana, usually in the month of September, October, in that area. So we're very much connected with the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra. But there's a nice qualitative distinction between Krishna, who is the source of all incarnation, and Rama, one of the principal manifestations of that in that expansion of the Lord. is that Krishna does whatever he wants. And he doesn't care because he's God. And if people criticize, that's their problem. He marries, you know, 16,108 wives. Guru Prabhupada said, why 16,001 away? Why not 16 million or 16 billion? And he says he's not going to fight, and he fights. He tells a lie. So, you know, and his cane is crooked. So they say you can't trust Krishna. You never know what's going to happen. He says, worship me, and he takes everything from you. That's Krishna. Krishna is the source of everything, and he is very difficult to understand, in fact, impossible. And the way he presents himself and the way he interacts is great mystery. But he's always dealing with his devotees in the best possible way for the benefit of the devotees. But Lord Ramachandra is Maryada Purushottama. He manifests himself according to religious principles. He follows religious principles. Generally, of course, there is a few incidents where he's criticized for not following, but if you go deeper into those incidents, you'll find that actually he's taking that principle to its complete understanding. The killing of Bali, the banishing of Mother Sita, these are the things that the Lord gets taken to issue. I know every time I give a class about Lord Ramachandra, why did he banish Mother Sita? She was so chaste, so faithfully. She purified herself by going into the fire, and it was not actually a purification, but it was actually to show that she was already purified. And then he banished her. I mean, the women really attacked me for this. Please don't attack me today. But if you do, do it nicely. So, yeah, Lord Ramchandra. And, but he's very much in line. He was willing to accept the position of being the prince regent to rule the city of Ayodhya after the, what we say, the retirement of his great father, King Dasaran. And he was already on the order of his father. But then, everything changed. By one envious maidservant of Kaikeya, she pollutes Kaikeya, the principal queen of Maharaj Dasaran, in such a way that her mind becomes, what we say, a completely different. She's a favorable wife, loving, the favorite wife of Dasaran. Now she becomes his number one enemy, practically. He loves his son more than he loves himself. She says, Bridge, send him to the forest, and he has to be there for 14 years. And now, when Ram, I'm just kind of fast-forwarding through these different pastimes, because we don't have a lot of time. Ram heard that now his father has changed according to the influence of his stepmother. Now, but he's willing to go to the forest. He was willing to accept the throne on behalf of his father. He was willing to go to the forest on behalf of his father. This is an interesting. He's not attached to position. He was attached to the religious principles of following one's authority. Very important principle. For devotees to understand, we may like to serve in a certain way. We have that inclination, and we also have what we're good at. But sometimes we're asked to do some services that may not be so easy, or even against our nature, because they might be necessary, emergency. But if we're attached to the service rather than attached to the served, the one who we are actually serving, then we missed the whole point. We actually missed the whole point. So Lord Ramachandra is teaching that. In the Vedic culture, one's parents are considered to be also like one's guru. We have the example of Madhvacharya. the great Madhvacharya. He wanted to take sannyas and leave home, and he did. But before he did, he went to his parents and said, "Can you give me permission? I want to take sannyas and leave home." They were the only son. He was the only son. They said, "No, no, no, we can't do that. You are our only son. We love you. If you leave, what will we do? How will we live?" He said, "All right, I will stay as long as you produce another child. When that child comes, then I will go." So they said, "Okay." So another son was born. After the son was born, he said, "Can you give me permission?" They said, "No." They said, "No again." And this time he said, "I'm going." So he was going, and they were following him. Finally, his father was pleading, begging, "Please come back, please come back." And he paid his obeisances to his son. He said, "This Madhvacharya said, just see. You are paying your obeisances to me. That means you are in a position of accepting whatever I say. So, Hari Bol." So he turned the whole thing around. But he was keeping the religious principle up to a certain point, but he understood the higher religious principle. The higher religious principle was that he was inspired by the Lord to move on and take the sannyasa of life. Over here, we see Lord Ramachandra, that whatever his father decreed, that became his, we say, his focus. And there are many, many examples in the life of Lord Ramachandra that are so valuable in teaching, especially when they were banished in the forest, and they were put when, I think it was in Chitrakoot, after being in the forest for 13 years. And, Ram had killed 14,000 Rakshasa soldiers headed by some of the most powerful generals of Ravana. And then when Ravana found out, he was amazed. And then, of course, his sister Suparnika told about that beautiful wife of Lord Ramachandra that should be part of your harem. Oh, Ravana, he became so excited just hearing the descriptions. And he went to Maricha. Maricha was there. Maricha was retired. He was a retired demon. He had cashed in his demon card and took up, unemployment. He was living in the forest. And Ravana said, "Maricha, I need you. You have to come out of retirement for one more seva." He said, "What is that?" He said, he tells him the whole thing. And then he says, as soon as he hears the word Rama, he goes into this contortions, and he says, "Ram, forget it. I'm not coming." Now he's the Supreme Personality. He's powerful. He's powerful. He shot one arrow at me 800 miles into the ocean. Ever since then, I quit. So I'm not doing it. Ravana got angry and said, "If you don't do it, I'm going to kill you." Made it right to the point. And Maricha said, "You put it that way, I can be killed by you or I can be killed by Ram. I think I'll choose to get killed by Ram. And I have a choice." So he took that choice, and he took the form of a beautiful deer, and his program was to attract Sita in such a way that she would want the deer, and then he would run away. And it worked perfectly. When the beautiful deer came, Sita said, "Oh, look, Ram, so beautiful, so cool. I've never seen a deer like..." Lakshman said, "That's not one of the 8,400,000 species. Something else." "No, no, no, it's so beautiful. We only have 1 year left. Can you take it back to Ayodhya? Beautiful." And, Ram's listening, Lakshman's not, because he can't do anything, Lakshman. He sees the whole thing. But Ram, he's listening to his wife. And then finally, then the deer runs away. And then she said, "Oh, please catch him." So Ram says, "All right." So he goes. And he says, "Lakshman, you guard her." So Lakshman stays there. And he goes chasing after the deer. Now, of course, we all know the story how Lakshman drew that circle and said, stay in this circle and you'll be safe. But when Sita was there and Lakshman was with her, she started to find fault with Lakshman, saying, huh? And then what Maricha did is that he imitated Ram's voice and called out in a very desperation plea, Lakshman, come save me. Sita says, your brother's in trouble, he's calling you. Lakshman said, that's not him, that's the demon. She couldn't hear. What's the point? Material attachment. She's the goddess of fortune. She brings the results of many persons' desires for material wealth, position, power, and great fortune. Now she's covered by this apparent illusion in order to teach how material attachments causes everything to go wrong. She's so attached, and now, and her attachment is so strong that she's criticizing Lakshman for not going. He said, ha ha, now I understood everything. You just want to be with me. Boy, when Lakshman heard that, he was so devastated. Combination angry and at the same time brokenhearted. He had so much love for Sita. He never even looked above her ankles. He was very, very respectful as his brother's dear wife and treated her like his mother. And now she's saying this. And that insult was too much. He couldn't take it. He said, all right, I'm going. But I know you won't be here. And then he left, saying, stay in this circle. And of course, we all know how Ravana came and tempted her. And then, of course, she was taken away. But the point I wanted to make is that the whole Ramayana is full of so many messages on how we can learn the teachings of Krishna consciousness, the element of surrender, the element of understanding what is right and what is wrong. So this entire Ramayana and Lord's life is ideal, teaching so many wonderful, wonderful messages. Jatayu, he fought like anything. He knew he was going to lose. There was no chance he could defeat Ravana in the battle. And he was old. And still, he did his best to fight. He knew he was going to die. There was no doubt about it. But what was his mind mentality? Better die trying to serve the Supreme Personality of God, and that's the perfection of life. If I can give my life for the Lord in devotion, and I actually may succeed. Actually, he fought so gallantly that Ravana was amazed to see his fighting. At one point, which is not mentioned, it's mentioned in another Ramayana, not in Valmiki Ramayana, Ravana couldn't defeat Jatayu. And he said to Jatayu, I'll tell you my weak spot, and you tell me your weak spot. He used a little bit of mesmerization to get an advantage over her. He was trying to cheat. But Jatayu said, my weak spot is my wings. What is your weak spot? And Ravana said, my toe. So when Ravana heard that the weak spot of Jatayu was his wings, he immediately tried to cut off the wings, and we know that's how he defeated Jatayu. So Ravana cheated there. But still, giving up his life for the service of the Lord, when Ram came later and found Jatayu, he was practically dead. He was just about to, he stayed alive long enough simply to see the beautiful face of the Supreme Personality of Godhead before he left the world. And then after seeing the face that the Lord blessed him, and the Lord was so overwhelmed with compassion and love for his devotee, how he had sacrificed everything simply to pour his devotional service. So Jitaya was an epitome of complete surrender in devotional service. So we have so many messages of the Ramayana. Anupami, we can hear in so many pastimes of Sri Hanumanji, how he jumped across the ocean. While he was jumping across the ocean, one mountain comes out of the sea and says, Hanuman, take rest. I have a nice mountain. There's nice fruits and herbs and wonderful places to relax. You can just take it easy. He said, he touched the mountain and went on. The message is that in devotional service, there's no retirement. There's no rest. Prabhupada said, I want to go to Vrindavan and take some of my leading disciples there, and we will make an ashram there. Prabhupada never did it. Later on, he said, I'm going to die on the battlefield. I'm going to die preaching Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada was determined to use every bit of his energy to spread Krishna consciousness. He was teaching by example how that whatever we have is given to us by the Supreme Lord to be used for the Supreme Lord's service. So Prabhupada made a point, no vacations in Krishna consciousness. Sometimes we slow down, we do a little retreat, japa retreat, reading retreat, sometimes we take care of health. But it's all based on increasing our service, increasing our determination in bringing about a greater opportunity to preach Krishna consciousness and to do more and more service. So this is the message of Hanuman. He didn't want to stop. He simply wanted to, he was focused on his mission of bringing Sita, finding Sita. And he had so many challenges. Obstacles in devotional service are opportunities for greater gain in spiritual life. What is that gain? That we can become a little detached from material life. We can take greater shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We can develop the qualities that are needed in our devotional service. Krishna sends obstacles. There's always an obstacle. Sometimes devotees say, I have so many problems. The only problem is you think it is a problem. I mean, there are problems, of course, and some of these problems we create. But tategu kampa shusha mekshamanam bhujane vakrita viparkam kribhava bhubhirga nidadama stay jiviti yo mukti Vedesha Nayavad. Prabhupada said, learn this verse. He said, two verses are important, two mantras are important, chant Hare Krishna and this verse. Why did he say this verse? Because he knows this is Kali Yuga. There are so many difficulties. But one who is fixed in devotional service is one who is attached to two things, chanting the holy names of the Lord and taking the association of devotees. If we keep these two things prominent, developing that sweet taste, Namruchi, Vaishnava Seva, and using that benefit for Jiva Doya, which means to preach Krishna consciousness, one is fixed in devotional service. And opportunities become, obstacles become opportunities. I mean, it's easier for me to say that because it sounds like nice philosophy. But you know, I get out sometimes when I find myself in difficult situations, the first thing you say is, why, Krishna? Why did you put me in this situation? And Krishna, I mean, I can hear Krishna's voice saying, because you need it. You need it to help moving forward. And then sometimes there's just living in Kali Yuga, there's so many. We have crises with health, we have so many things. Somebody borrows money from us and doesn't give it back. Said, I'm a devotee, you know, I need it. There's so many things. It's just one difficulty in it. So, Bhagavan was teaching, keep your mind focused on devotional service. The obstacles will come by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Through taking shelter, we can overcome these obstacles. And what does overcoming the obstacles mean? It means that we can take greater shelter of the Supreme Lord and pray for His mercy and depend on Him in each and every circumstance. One who depends on the Lord in every circumstance is perfect in Krishna consciousness. And Krishna does that. Krishna does that. He puts us in circumstances where we have to depend on Him. He likes that. He likes when His devotees depend on Him. And if we forget depending on that, He'll create a circumstance so we remember that we have to depend on Him. That's Krishna. It's His mercy. But the pastimes of Ram are just really amazing. There's so many things that make up Ram's Leela that are so wonderful. He is righteous in all respects. He is Eka Patni, married only one wife, even though another lady came to him and wanted to get married, said, in this incarnation I am only accepting one wife. So many ideal ways that he followed religious principles. Now in the world, you know, outside of the ISKCON society, people generally worship the Supreme Personality of God, and within the culture of India, they worship Ram. We compare it to how many worship Krishna, because they know Krishna, you can't trust Krishna. He's gonna, you know, say one thing and do something else. He's gonna say, you know, if you worship me, you'll be happy, but He takes everything away. They don't like that. Ram does too, but he does it in a nice way. So, yeah. So, worshiping the Supreme Personality of God, Lord Ramachandra, is his mood is that he's ideal in everything. And when Bharat wanted to come and give him the throne, Bart didn't want to take the throne. He was angry at his mother. He came all the way into the forest just to bring Ram back. Ram said, no, this is the instructions of my father. You rule the kingdom. Bart didn't want to rule the kingdom. Bart wasn't even interested in position. He was pleading for his brother to come back. Ram said, no, actually, this is the arrangement. Higher powers, you are meant to rule. But Bart, when he came back, he took the shoes, the padukas of Lord Ram, and he put him on the throne. He went to a place called Nandigram. It's right near Ayodhya. And he stayed for 14 years. He took only barley cooked in caviar. That was all he ate for 14 years. And he ruled the kingdom from there. If people want any advice, they would have to come there to get it. He wasn't attached to position. Sometimes we get attached to position. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati was asked, yesterday was his disappearance day. He said, no, this is another step. He said, anyone who thinks he's guru is guru. Cow. He said, one who identifies with whatever role they play is not understanding the real. We have only one identity. Jivir Sarupai Krishna Arandachidas. We are not woman, we're not man, we're not sannyasi, we're not GBC, we're not this. These are all roles we play. We only have one identity. And by keeping that clear, then the position is Gopi Pata Pata Kamalayor Das Das Angdas. That the best position is to become, or try to become, servant of the servant of the servant. Srila Prabhupada says 100 times removed. He says the more you become servant, the more you become glorious. So position allows one to become a servant. By serving in the role of the position that you're given, then that is the best form of service. To to serve in the ideal way according to one's position is the way to serve. But the position is not our identity, nor is it the success of our service. It is when Krishna is pleased by the execution of devotional service. Our Bhart was teaching that. He wasn't attached to any position. He loved his brother, he wanted his brother to be the king, and therefore, although he had all facilities to enjoy the kingdom, he didn't. He simply took up the mode of renunciation. Okay, these are some quick aspects of this particular lila, which can give us a little bit of indication of some of the principles that we can follow in our own Krishna consciousness. Any questions or comments? Lord Ramachandra, something related? Yes, Prabhu. Do we have a microphone?
Thank you, Maharaj, for this class. I was listening on the other one speaker telling that the Lakshmana offended to my step. That's why Ram took 1 year to rescue Sita from Lanka because he does not like this offended individual.
Offended
to devotee.
And who was that devotee he was going
to? The Lakshman, the Sita devotee, the Lakshman saying there's so many work, so Ramchandra didn't like it, so that's why he took long to rescue Mother Sita.
Nice point. Do you know what reference that is?
I said that he did not clear that, but he was.
No, the Shastric reference, that's in Valmiki's Ramayana, or is it?
I don't think you make clear if you can, if you know of that.
I also heard that once before. It's interesting. But it's nice to get a reference for that. I mean, philosophically, it makes complete sense.
Yeah, that's why I was philosophy like that, it doesn't make sense.
Well, it's nice to get a reference. Any other questions? Or Sri Ram Leela, yes, Mataji?
I'm here, Mataji.
Oh, Mahatma? Okay, yes.
I was just wondering the reference. You said the two mantras, the Hare Krishna mantra and the Tathaya Pampam.
It's a statement of my Prabhupada that I heard many times by other devotees who repeated that statement. And I would like to take a little research.
I've never heard that. Nice.
I mean, think about it in terms of how important that verse is. If we don't follow the principles of that verse, we can't stay in Krishna consciousness. Well, I forgot to explain the verse. The verse is that the Lord puts his devotee into difficult situations. And the devotee thinks, my dear Lord, actually, the situation you put me in is actually only a small token of what I deserve. I actually deserve worse, but thank you very much. I offer my humble obeisances to your lotus feet. And Muktipadesha Dayabak means that by praying like this, sincerely from the heart, then the kingdom of God becomes one's rightful inheritance. So what does that mean? That one who accepts whatever the Lord arranges for their devotional service, their purification, and thanks the Lord for that, then that is seeing Krishna and everything in Krishna. And therefore a devotee can be peaceful, knowing it's the Lord's arrangement. Thank you. Yes, Mataji. got intercepted, okay. No, Buddha says it's coming.
Yes, in the fifth canto it's written how Hanuman worships Ramachandra in Him Purusha Varsha for eternity. And it says that Him Purusha Varsha is situated on the north of Bharat Varsha, which is India. So just wondering if you know where that is.
Which Varsha is he?
Him Purusha.
Him Purusha Varsha. Does anybody know that answer? Where is Him Purusha Varsha? I mean, Prabhupada said Varsha means island. This whole continent is made up of seven islands. So which one is Him Purusha Varsha? I can honestly say I don't know. It takes a little research. It's something you could probably find out. Yeah, I mean, we could, what's
no one knows.
Nobody knows, huh? Ask Hanuman. See what he said.
No, I thought you were
going to talk about
Hanuman. That's
fine. Well, I don't have that connection with Hanuman. I mean, nowadays, with all the information available, with some research, they'll probably find it. It shouldn't be that hard to understand where Him Purusha Varsha is. The Bhagavatam speaks the essential principles. The Puranas give a lot of details which are part of the activities that are mentioned in the Bhagavatam. So in the Puranas you find a lot of things that add to the pastimes and information in the Bhagavatam.
So,
you
said
it's
the north of India, so I'm just wondering, because it internally is worshipped there. So does it correspond to any physical region on Earth?
Yeah, it's definitely a physical region, but where? That's another thing. Yes, Vrindavaneshwari.
That physical region is above this Bhumandala.
It's above Bhumandala.
Yes, it's not here on the Earth. Because the Bharatvarsha and its all lokas are situated in the Jambudvipa. They are part of the Jambudvipa. It's in the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Explain all these lokas.
Because
also Him Purusha Varsha and Lokrita Varsha and so many Varshas. So if you can try to find it in the fifth canto of Srimad
Bhagavatam. You mean the
Jambudvipa
is not
Earth? When the descriptions are given, they give same as on the Earth. Because you have to read that. And because I think it's Vedic, what is the name? Vedic discourse. So they were explaining there that the Jambudvipa sometimes also refers for the place on the earth, which is Bharat Varsha, the center of that. But it's the above Bhumandala, it's not here.
Yeah, we have to figure out Vedic cosmology before you go.
Yeah, Vedic cosmology. Yeah, that's
okay. Is there anything else? Other questions, comments? Okay, thank you very much. Srimam Chandra. Srimam Bhagavad Gita.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you.